What's so special about Icon of the Seas? Let's discuss. Welcome to Princess and Scoundrel, where we take you along our scrappily ever after, from Fantasyland to Tatooine and everything in between. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Steven.
And I got to go on the inaugural sailing of the world's largest cruise ship. Now, one of us got to go on.
Now tell me, should I be jealous?
So we'll get to that. Okay. Right. But yeah, I was super fortunate. I got to go on the inaugural sailing. It was not one of these like, hey, Princess and Scoundrel, come out. Like, somebody had booked into a cabin with our travel agency, and I got to jump in on that. So I paid. But it was such a cool experience to be one of the first on the biggest cruise ship in the world.
Well, I think so. The thing is, like you said, that when the inaugural cruise is, when you're able to book something like this, it's, or even cruises in general, it's like a year, right? Or more.
Plus, yeah.
So they started booking this back in...
It was October of 2022.
Yeah. So we were like baby novices to cruising.
We'd only cruise in space at that point.
Like, yeah. So it was funny when the agency kind of came to you and said, hey, here's this room and this cruise, whatever. Do you want to go? And... you were kind of like, I don't know, because I wasn't going to go with you. And I was like, just go.
Yeah.
Like, go try it out. Go see what it's about. Because, again, you could come back and tell us.
I can come tell you. And I could just,
you know, sit here and, oh, okay, yeah, yeah. No, I don't like that. Or, yes, I do like that.
Right.
So you got to sell it to me. Just like the last cruise, you got to sell this to me.
Is this a sales presentation? Yeah. Good thing I brought a pitch deck. I'm just kidding. Okay, so... Let's get into it a bit. So yes, super fortunate. My agency, I need to plug them, Carry On The Magic. Absolutely amazing that they were able to secure a cabin on the inaugural sailing. I was able to go. And there's some prep with any cruise that you do. One of the great things about cruises is that you don't have to do too much preparation, but there's a few things that you may want to do to make your cruise more enjoyable, right? So first thing up is dining. If you are like a super big foodie and you're into more of a specialty dining situation, maybe a nice steakhouse or maybe seafood, or on Icon of the Seas, they had this thing called Empire Supper Club and it was like $200. Anyway, it was like this beautiful, like multi-course meal. They paired it with cocktails. It was like a dining experience. Those are things that you would book ahead of time. If you just want to eat like in the main dining hall, you can just reserve your time ahead of time and you're good. There is entertainment. So like booking shows. So they've got nighttime entertainment. On Icon of the Seas, they had like a Broadway show, an ice skating show, and a water show. Those, if you wanted to do that, you had to go in and like select your times, because those will fill up out of time too. And then there's things like add-ons. So if you want to get a spa package or like a pass to go visit the spa and do the saunas and all of that stuff, you can do that. I didn't do that. That's not my vibes. I opted instead for the drink package and the internet package.
Okay.
Those more my speed. And the drink package, they have different ones. So it's not all non-alcoholic drinks are just included in the price of the cruise. Like if you want to drink sodas and specialty coffees and those types of things, you'd have to get a drink package for that, which is what we had initially. And then like 2 weeks before the cruise, they ran a sale for the alcoholic drink package. And I was like, well, that's not that much more.
Now, do you have to book this ahead of time or can you do a drink package while you're on the ship?
I think you can just like buy the drink package. They're going to sell you anything at any time.
But does it change like prices or anything?
So it's kind of variable. So like with the...
If they're trying to sell it, then you're probably going to be able to find a discount on it.
You're probably going to find a discount on it. If you decide halfway through that you want to upgrade to a drink package, you're not paying for the full 7 nights. You're paying for like the 4 nights that you've got left, or even the Wi-Fi package. So I had the Wi-Fi for one device, but you could have up to 4 devices, but you had to pay more
for each one.
For each one.
So but none of this is like special to like the pre pre-boarding.
No.
Okay.
No. So it's just, that's just how it goes with Royal Caribbean. But yeah, so there's a few things that you can do ahead of time, thankfully, because I was booked in with travel agents. I didn't have to do too much of the pre-planning. I was just like,
that's kind of how it is at the house. I just get to enjoy, you know, the spoils of you planning everything and just telling us where to go, what to do.
It was, I felt pampered. I was like, I landed the night before. I was like, what hotel are we staying at again? Can you send me an address? Like, where are we going now? Like, it was wonderful to have everything planned. I get it now.
Tell me about it.
It was wonderful. But that was most of the prep work. It wasn't, I bought new clothes. I had an excuse to buy new outfits. So that was fun, but that's not anything like specific to the inaugural sailing.
There was a, I posted it, I think right before Mosh. Somebody had like, you know, done a reel about it, but basically like, why are we buying new clothes for people that we've never met before? Like you always buy clothes for new on like vacation.
Yeah.
So like, but they haven't seen our old clothes before. So why are we dressing nice from?
That's a good point, but
it feels good.
It feels good. You feel good wearing new clothes. Yeah. And like on a cruise, I didn't know. I also didn't know like the vibes of the cruise. I didn't know if it was going to be cold on the ship, if it was going to be hot. Like,
oh, that is one thing. Because there was like, and I guess we'll talk about it later, but there's like white night, like, you know, white out nights.
Themed nights.
Themed nights. So if you have to plan to.
You kind of have to plan that.
Bring that type of clothing. Because you don't always.
Because again, I let somebody else be my travel agent for this one. And so I didn't get into like the details of some of it. There was a themed night that I just like completely missed. I was like, well, I didn't pack anything for that. My bad. The inaugural sailing, right? Like there's one inaugural sailing. And so they did a few things that were special for that. Although I don't think it was technically just for the inaugural. But when we first boarded the ship.
Well, when you say that, I immediately think it's like the media one and then like the friends and family one.
Yeah.
And then this is the one where they came out to the left. And this is the other one where they, you know, broke the bottle on. It was just like every type of first inaugural cruise.
Right.
It's like the first one in
baby's January. First sneeze, yeah. Baby's first diaper. Yeah, that's what it felt like. But for this one, so when you walk into the ship, they had all these nets of like balloons. And so we're like, oh man, we're going to do a balloon drop at some point. Like super cool. They had done it for like the two preview cruises that they had like the week before. As we were leaving, we saw more balloons were already up. So we're like, okay, it wasn't just for the inaugural.
You're not special.
We're not that special. But on the first night of the sailing, they did a balloon drop. So the Royal Promenade, which I kept calling the atrium because I'm just like, I'm in my Star Cruiser lingo. But it's this huge, it's a promenade, a huge, like a mall. It was massive in there. And you could fit a ton of people. But it was nice because it wasn't like a ballroom. There's like shops and dining and bars and everything off of it, but that was where mostly people would gather for these like parties or events like a balloon drop. But at some point in the night they had like a little countdown and they played some music, live music, and everybody was dancing, and then they dropped the balloons. Super dope for like 10 seconds. Just imagine, it had to have been 5-10,000 balloons. Because this place is massive, and there was like probably six of these massive nets. They drop the balloons. Everybody's like, yeah. And they're like kind of popping the balloons back up. Keepy uppy until they start popping. Imagine a giant corridor full of people, and it's just balloon popping sounds for like a solid 5 minutes. Like it went from like pure joy to just like instant panic of like, get me out. I was in the middle of it too, because like, anyway, I tried to start a dance party in the middle of this thing, and I did, but I'm in the middle of the crowd, and then all of a sudden the balloons are popping. I was like, no, get me out of here. I was like, please get me out of here. But everybody felt like that. We were all like, yeah, no. So they did the balloon drop. They did do fireworks for the inaugural sailing at the Port of Miami. I thought they were going to do them off the cruise ship, but they did them, I think, on land, because we were sitting down to dinner when they did them. Oh, and okay. So we saw them out the window.
Oh, that's kind
of
cool.
Yeah, it was kind of, I mean, we were just kind of, there were no Disney fireworks. It was kind of like, and we were like, cool. But fireworks are fireworks. It was fun.
Yeah.
And then they did, what else did they do? They did, gifts. We got gifts every day in our cabin.
But doesn't that happen, like, if you are, like, different levels of, you know, the cruise? Because don't they have, like, your silver, gold, and
right.
diamond.
And, Pinnacle Club. Yeah. Like, Pinnacle Club, like, the fancy ones. I wouldn't know. We're new to cruising. But yes, if you do, if you're booked into, like if you have any kind of affiliation or loyalty to them, they give you like a special lanyard, or if you're Pinnacle Club, you have a gold name tag, they'll give you things.
But I remember that's what you were saying, that you saw.
All the Pinnacle Club members
have. Well, because that was the thing, is like they open the bookings up to.
They get first dibs. Yeah. And so there were so many people with that have been on like so many Royal Caribbean cruises. It was a very interesting mix on the inaugural voyage, but it was like, it was cool to see everybody. And like some people had matching shirts. Some people were like trying to get content. I'm trying to run around. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm here for a good time and I'm trying to film. And like, I don't know what's going on, but the mix of people on the cruise was cool. Cause everybody's just excited because it's an inaugural voyage. But yeah, they gave us gifts every night, or every day in our cabin. So water bottles, hats, a really cool like cocktail kit.
You're oddly happy about that cocktail kit.
It was really nice because
I will explain it. Like, I'm gonna step in right here. I'm gonna explain it, why I think it's odd, because it is like a leather pouch.
It's a canvas, like a picnic.
It reminds me of like one of those like burglar tool. Like, yes. Where it like rolls out, and it's so it's just
burglar tool. It's a lockpick.
It's bigger though. It's not like lockpick size. It has like,
it's massive.
A mixer and all the big spoons and it has the tongs.
Full cocktail shaker in there.
So it's neat, but you're not going to be carrying around.
Okay, the day before I got a notebook, and so I come into the room and there's this like cool, like it's. When you think of like, you know, free gifts and the promo swag. Items and swag and stuff like that, it's like a hat, a notebook,
whatever. It is different. It's not a hat or a notebook. Yeah. So, okay, I give it to you there.
It was a gift. It was a true gift. But yeah, so we got something cool like every night like that. By the last night, they gave us a picture of the ship.
Okay, because I'm like, oh, we gave all the good stuff already now.
But it was gifts from like different heads of different departments, so like department of marketing, the cruise director, the captain gave us the picture of the ship, and like, but it was neat.
Was he in the picture too?
No, like this.
Thumbs up.
But it felt special, and so you would see people wearing. Oh, and they gave us like weird, like waterproof fanny packs that said "Icon of the Seas" on them, so you could take them onto your excursions or whatever. But it was fun because you would see them people wearing those, or they wore the hats or whatever. But yeah, so that was something fun for the inaugural. Now, one of the things that I was concerned about going on this cruise initially is like the world's largest cruise ship. What comes with being the world's largest cruise ship? People.
Well, I think this is one of the reasons why I was like, go for it. Like, you are okay to go by yourself, because I was not prepared to like go into such, just the size of it itself, just looking at pictures, I was like, it was daunting. And I was like, that means people.
And there's people to support those people. So there's over 2,000 crew members on this ship. Take that in, over 2,000 people working on the ship to take care of the guests on the ship. That's all, 2,000 people? So that's the size of like a cruise ship like max capacity.
So I wonder how many, like, what's the total number of people that can be on the ship?
So for guests, I believe it's 7,600 at max capacity. Ours was not quite. Ours was just short of 5,000 guests.
So what would you say? Like,
it was like 65% capacity. And that was something that shocked me. I didn't realize that until we were on the ship, that it was not going to be, because the cruise was sold out. What happened is Royal Caribbean decided, we're only going to sell this many rooms because we're still trying to figure things out here. And so they didn't open up all of the cabins.
So this, you know, we had, once you had found that information out.
Yeah.
This like was immediate, like the business brain kicked in and I was like, it's smart because they know that most of the people that are on this inaugural cruise.
Yeah.
Is going to be reporting about it like you. Hmm. But they're going to want you to have the best possible time ever.
Right.
Yeah. Because I know there was a lot of times that you were telling me like, oh, it was like 5 minute wait. It was, you know, yeah. There was no wait at all. Or like we're sitting in the dining room and there's nobody around.
Nobody around. I was there for 2 days living in bliss. Like, this is the world's largest cruise ship and there's no waits. This is amazing. And then I found out it was like 65% capacity. I was like, oh, well, that makes a lot more sense. Because, and honestly, like, it was great. I paid for the cruise. I thought it was going to be sold out and it was only at 65%. But I felt a little bit like, oh, wait. Like, one of the reasons I was coming here was to see how crowded it could be at 90, 100% capacity so that I could share what that's like for people that maybe are nervous about going on a massive cruise ship that can hold 7,600 guests. So from that sense, I was kind of like, I was a little irked by it, but I also got to reap the benefits of it.
Yeah. But I think one of the things too, kind of like you have to like think about the staffing. Like, did they have full staffing? Because, you know, they have a max. Is 2,000 the max or is that like the minimum, the bare bones? Like, what is that like?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, as far as are they ever going to fill all the rooms 100%? Like, typically places don't. They'll have extra rooms just in case people need to be moved or some kind of issues. And they have like this contingency for that. So 65% may be sold out always.
Right.
So
it could be.
And then maybe the other thing is like we're all adults. So the people were, or did they, was it rooms or was it people?
So the capacity on like the guests on the ship was just short of 5,000.
So people,
but there were only so many rooms that they sold. So I think they maxed out on the rooms they were willing to sell, not necessarily the amount of people.
See, cause that's another consideration. Right. It's like, it could be where it's one room. Sometimes it's just one person.
Exactly.
Or sometimes it's a room to the capacity of.
Yeah. Of four people in there. Yeah, exactly. That was another thing. You mentioning that on the inaugural voyage, possibly because now that I'm thinking about it, because Pinnacle Club members, like the ones that have the highest status on Royal Caribbean, got to book first. And then because there's a lot of people that were going on this to report on it or record it for whatever purposes, there wasn't a lot of kids on the ship. And from what I learned on this, Royal Caribbean is very incredibly family friendly. They have a whole, they call them neighborhoods. They have an entire neighborhood. And I listened to it all day and all night because that's where my room was. Dedicated to families. But there wasn't that many kids there. Every time I would look down there, and every time I was down there, I was like,
it's probably because it was the first ones. And then right now it's like still school time in most places. So
right. But I was shocked. I was shocked that there wasn't that many kids there. But yeah, I mean, those were the things that were kind of special about the inaugural voyage. I can get into some of the things that didn't quite work with the inaugural voyage. So
let's hear.
Let's have some little tea. So the very first night that we were on the ship, we had reservations for the water show in the Aqua Dome. I believe it was called Aqua Action. And it's a really cool theater space. It's kind of a theater in the round where everybody sits around the stage and it's kind of like a semicircle. But weirdly enough, because it was in the Aqua Dome, it's this massive space where people can hang out like on the backside of the stage and look out the front of the ship. There's like bars, there's restaurants there. So it's not a closed off theater. You can walk around it at any given time. I'm going to come back.
And you need a booking for it?
You need a booking for it.
If you want to, I guess, sit down.
If you want to sit down in the seating, they have people at the top of the seating checking your things. But I'll circle back to that because that's why I'm mentioning this. But it was the very first night. I think we were at the very first showing of it. And we sit down. It's supposed to be like diving. And you can see that there's like bungees and there's like aerial, you know, artists and everything. We sit down to watch it. And the first 5 minutes of the show is just like water fountains going off in water and some projections. And I was like, something's not right. This seems weird. But then they started the show and then they played the Imperial March. And I was like, oh, my God, it's Star Wars Days at Sea. And I forgot about it for a little bit. The show was great. The pool itself was neat because it would like the bottom of the pool would raise and lower. So it would lower deep enough that people could high dive into the water and then it would raise so that they were standing on the water. It was crazy. And they had like they did a great job with the show. Anyway, because we watched the very first one, the next day we were Cheryl, my sister-in-law, my agency owner, we were hanging out in what's called the Overlook. So basically the backside of this theater looks out at the front of the ship and it's got lots of seating. You can hang out. We're there and we keep hearing the music that we heard that we listened to for the first 5 minutes of the show. And as we're leaving, we go watch. They're practicing what was supposed to be happening during that first 5 minutes. And I was like, oh man, that looked really cool though. Like we didn't get to see it. So it
was like the part that you missed was.
So yeah, there was parts of the show that they weren't ready.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is because it's an open theater and you can go behind the theater and sit, or you can go to that bar, you can eat at that restaurant. There's no way to close off that space for rehearsals. That's the only place on the ship where they can rehearse this thing. And I probably went to the Overlook, the front of the ship, almost every day. I heard and watched them rehearse that almost every day of the cruise. I don't think the entire sailing, I don't think anybody got to see those first 5 minutes of the show because we also came back. We came back like 3 or 4 nights later and we're like, let's see, because we happened to be over there. We're like, let's see. And so we waited. And because we didn't have reservations, we just kind of like stood up at the top of the seating and we waited.
And you could watch it.
We watched the whole first 5 minutes. And I was like,
I mean, I guess it's your blocking your seat, so
basically. So for that one, reservations recommended if you want to sit, but not necessary. The first night of the thing, they also had Wizard of Oz, which was the first time, that's special to Icon of the Seas, the first showing of it. They didn't show it.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so it wasn't ready. We got to watch it. We actually watched it on the last night. It was a great show, but it just like it wasn't ready. And so there's just like little things like that where it was.
But
just,
yeah, I think that's kind of, you know, you were able to watch it on the last day. It's just those hiccups of,
yeah,
not everything's working on the first day type of thing. So
yeah,
I don't think that should be necessarily a ding against them.
It's not a ding, but I think it's something to consider if you're really excited about going on the first of any kind of experience.
And I say that because as an early adopter of like technology, there's like these grand things that this new piece of technology comes out, but there's going to be hiccups and yeah, there's going to be naysayers of like, oh, we'll see. It didn't come out perfect. You're like, but this is changing the game, you know, altogether.
Yeah.
You know, something may not work. Hopefully the company comes and fixes it, but you know, this is 10 steps ahead of what we had before.
What you had before. Right. So, or like,
so I'm going to pause. Like I'm going to give it, let them cook for a little bit.
Let them cook, as the kids say. But like Galaxy's Edge, Rise of the Resistance was supposed to open with Galaxy's Edge. It didn't open for a few months later, right? Because it still was having issues. It still has issues from time to time. So it was just some of those things where it was just like, oh, this is not quite ready yet. So keep that in mind if you're doing something new. But those were really the pluses and the minuses of being on the inaugural sailing. The cruise, like, let's get into the cruise itself because it was 7 nights. Yeah. It was a long time.
Well, I mean, going from the last one being 3 days, you know, I think it was what, 3 day cruise?
We did a 3 night sailing on the Disney Wish, which was the only other cruise we've ever done.
Yeah.
So, and if weirdly, that cruise felt long and short, right? So to go from that to go to a 7 night sailing and to not be with you and the kids was like, it was very stressy going into it. But it's the world's largest cruise ship. I'm going to say that phrase, start a drinking game. There's so much to do on the ship. Like, I got antsy at times, but it was my...
Like, antsy in the sense of, like, you wanted to do more or you wanted to do less?
I wanted to do not things on the ship. I wanted to go to Target if I wanted to. I wanted to, like, get in my car and drive if I wanted to, or, like, see you guys. Like, I'd like to not be on this ship right now, like, just for a moment. Like, it... Cruising is... I truly, truly loved this cruise. Like, it was amazing. But circumstances being what they were, like, I wasn't with you and the kids. Like, I didn't have my people with me. I absolutely love Cheryl, my sister-in-law that I traveled with. But it was just kind of like, conditions were not the best. And then also being new to cruising, I'm like, 7 nights is a long night to be on a cruise. But by the end of it, I was like, well, I'm really sad to leave this ship. I really loved this. But there's so, so, so much to do, even if sitting by the pool is not your thing, because... Or being in the pool. And I never once got in a pool on the ship.
So do they have, like, enough pools? Or is it, like, there's one huge pool that everybody has to kind of go to? Because I know that was, like, something on the Wish is, like, they have smaller pools, but there's a lot.
Yeah.
But it, you know, is this kind of the opposite where, like, okay, there's, like, three big pools that everybody has to go to?
Yes and no. They had smaller pools and really cool pools. So they had one that was a suspended pool off of the back of the ship that was pretty neat. And so it wasn't quite an infinity edge, but the back edge of it was glass. So it looked like you're looking off the back of the ship. They have adult only area with a pool there. They have lots of little hot tubs around. They have another one like in the middle of the ship. So they have pools. And the crazy thing, they had so many pool chairs, because that's always like a thing you hear, right? Yeah. Like, don't hog the pool chairs. There was never a time that I was walking around that I was like, where could I sit if I wanted to?
No, there was plenty of, yeah, that's good.
That was really good. And the interesting thing was, is like, with the pools in general, we had early dining. If we went out after early, like after our dinner was over, say 7 p.m., the pools were completely empty. Like, we could have an entire pool to ourselves if we wanted.
That's pretty nice.
Which was strange, I guess, because nobody wants to be in the pool when it's dinner time, right? You gotta wait an hour.
You got in too early.
Got in too early, but yeah, I didn't get in any pools just because, like, I don't know, public pools are not like my thing. But the one thing I did do is they have an entire, they call it Thrill Island, an entire water park at sea. This is on a ship.
It's an island, quote unquote island.
That's just what they called like the little water park area. But they have six water slides, and like I said, public pools not my thing, but I was like, I'm here, I've got to do it, I've got to do it. So we go on the first couple, and they're like raft ones, so my sister-in-law and I were able to go together. It's fun. They like their water slides, but they were great. There's the next one where it was like, okay, you're leveling up now, right? Now you've got to cross your arms and your legs, and you got to go down the slide. Well, the first one I go on, I think, was the scariest one. And you, as you're entering the slide, getting like going down the slide, it's almost like a complete 90 degree. Is that 90 degrees? It's a straight drop down.
Yeah.
So you're having to scoot your butt and your legs are straight out in front of you. And then you just like drop down and it just shoots you out to the bottom. And I was like, that was terrifying, but I did it. I'm a big, brave girl. So then we go over to the other side where the other three water slides were. Two of them were out of commission. They're like dueling dragons type of like a race.
See, that would be cool.
That would have been cool, right? But they were out of commission when we were there. They're like, oh no, there's one more, and it's the same one. You cross your arms and your legs. And I was like, okay, cool. I get all the way up there. All the way up there. You got to climb a ton of stairs to get up to the top of this thing. You're way up in the world because the whole ship is like, it's like 20. I think I'm like on deck 20 at this point by the time, wow, I climbed up there. I get up there, I'm chatting to everybody in line around me. Speaking of which, the lines are only like 10, 15 minutes long. I remember you saying that. Yeah. Hardly waited for anything. It was great. I finally turn around to look as the person in front of me is going, you're standing, they put you in a tube and they close it and they drop the floor out from under you. And I was like, no. I was like, what did I get myself into? I could have easily walked down the stairs and not done it. But I was like, you know what? It's like, I did it. I did the other one. I was scared and I did it. And then it's my turn and I have to go in this tube. And they're like, they're explaining to me, they're like, cross your arms and your legs. I was like, is that so I can slide right into my coffin? But they were nice, and they you talk to you over the mic when you're in the tube, and that was terrifying. Like, that was so scary because you.
But was it actually scary, or is it just you were scared to do it?
One, I was not anticipating it, and so I think it was just kind of like a panic of like, okay. Oh my god.
So it's not like a scare. It's just
it was fun.
It's a tube ride. Okay.
It was fun, but also just the nature of those. I think like they have to pump so much water in that you feel like you're underwater for like a good 5 seconds before you get your bearings, and you're like, okay, wait, no, I'm still in the slide and I'm going around, and then they dunk you into the little end of the thing, and you get all underwater again and get soaked. But it was great. The water parks there, super super fun, like highly recommend it. They've got like a putt-putt, like they have this whole thrill island. They have it's called Crown's Edge, where it's like a little zip line thing that takes you over the edge.
I remember seeing that.
That's a paid thing, you do that extra. That's in Thrill Island. They've got a rock climbing wall, they've got the water park, they've got putt-putt, they have this whole side of it that's thrills.
Now, I remember you saying that the one that goes over the edge, that was one of those things you had to book ahead of time, because the first couple of days it was like booked sold. Up.
Yeah.
It was sold out or whatever.
Yeah, so you had to book it ahead of time. And I thought they said it was sold out, and it was like $80 to do that. Once I saw it, I was like, I was watching people do it. The whole thing takes like 4 minutes to do, maybe. That's because you're going slow. Like, if you were just, like, walking a normal pace, it would take you, like, 30 seconds to do it. But it was not a very big course. It's very tiny. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, $80 is a lot. I was like, I would not spend $80 on that. Well, by the end of the cruise, it was $40 to do it. So I think they saw – we were guinea pigs, in a sense. Yeah. And so I think they saw, like, the demand wasn't there once people saw it with their own eyes, and they dropped the prices on it. So I was going to do it, but then –
I didn't.
I was like, even $40, like, I'm okay. It looked cool, but I'm okay. I did the water slides, man. Yeah. Like, I'm set. But yeah, so Thrill Island, it's up on like the upper decks of this ship. And then underneath that, it's called Surfside. And that's the family section of the ship. So think of the ship divided into two halves. The back half is the thrill side and the louder side. And then the front half was the quieter side. So Thrill Island up top, underneath it is Surfside. It's this whole neighborhood, as they call it, where families with like young kids can just stay out there all day. They've got little water parks. They have pools. They've got splash pads. They've got like a play gym. They've got quick service dining. They have sit down dining. They have a bar for parents. They have
Didn't they have like a mommy and me type of bar?
I think it's called the Lemon Post. It's like a mommy and me, so you can order they have adult cocktails, and then they have like matching like mocktails for kids, which is just like a it's cute in theory, but it's weird also in theory and in execution. Just like belly up to the bar with mommy, but but the bar itself was cute. And then they have like soft serve, of course, because soft serve is just like a huge thing on cruises. They have a gift shop, so you really could stay there all day, because you've got your food, you have your entertainment, you have your pools, like you have everything you need if you're a young kid or a family with young kids there. Then they have the more quiet side. So up on the pool deck is called Chill Island, and that's where the normal pool is. That's where they have a lot more of the pool chairs. The vibes are a lot quieter, like the music's not as loud, like it was just more of a normal like pool deck. That's again the front of the ship. So that's where like the Aquadome was, where they had the water theater, and you could like out look over the front of the ship. And then underneath that, because it's all open in the middle, is Central Park, which is not a new concept to Royal Caribbean ships, but it's kind of like you're walking, like there's greenery. There's full grown trees.
So
on this cruise ship.
I'm trying to think of like the pictures that I saw. Is that the one that kind of looks, it looks kind of like a mall where there's just stuff in the middle and then stores all around it?
Yeah. So it looks really lush. So they've got, it's a lot of green. It's open. It's an open space. So if you're standing in Central Park, which I think was on deck 7, you could look straight up and you would see the pool decks above, but you would also see the sky.
Oh.
So they had like
So I was wrong. So just tell me I was wrong.
Well, I don't know exactly. I think you're talking about the Royal Promenade, which was, it looked like a mall. They had like fancy watches and some of the signature dining, and they had bars and they had a quick service place in there too, but it was very chill and calm on that side. And then underneath all of that, stretching from the front of the back to the ship, was the Royal Promenade, which had,
so the promenade like connected the two sides.
It's underneath all of it, the Royal Promenade.
Okay.
So you have like, imagine, but like,
what's on top then?
Thrill Island, like the water parks are at the very top of the ship, and then open to that is the loud halves, and then there's like an elevator bank separating the two.
Okay.
And then underneath all of that was the Royal Promenade, which was like the atrium. That's the one that had the pearl in it. But it has like a karaoke bar, a dueling piano bar, the pizza place, the main gift shop, guest services, like all the, think of the atrium. It was just like the atrium, but
all long. These things off of it, yeah.
But that's where you spend most of your time. And so there's a ton of things to do, like between all of the different bars there, the water parks, they've got karaoke, they have game shows, they had a scavenger hunt going on. Like they have programming, but it was also kind of weird because there were off times. Like if you had early dining like we did and you didn't have a show that night, there would be dead zones where there really wasn't much going on.
So that's not, I mean, that was kind of the thing, the issue that we kind of had before on the other cruise.
Yeah.
There's just, if you don't get it timed up right, it feels like it takes so much longer to get back on a schedule.
Right.
Of like going to go to things.
Yeah.
So like if you miss a program or miss something, you're like, okay, well now I got to wait. And then you're not timed up because you're going to go eat. You're going to, you know,
right,
try something else. And it just keeps kind of pushing you until finally you're like, okay, now I'm able to do stuff. I'm able to go play these games.
Exactly. So it's like, it felt like everything was scheduled at the same time. And then there was nothing scheduled for a long time. And then there were more things. So we had 5 o'clock dining, which I actually didn't mind it because we've been eating early at home anyway. So we kind of got it out of the way. But then from like 7 to like 9 or 10, there wasn't much to do, especially if you didn't have a show. And then things would pick up around like 10. So they have a couple of fun things on the ship. So they did a sail away parade, which was really like, they had a whole parade in the Royal Promenade. Like they promenaded down this atrium, which was really fun. We missed the first one because it was like at our dinner time. So the next one was at like 10:30. So we go to 5 p.m. dinner and then we're like, okay, we just got to stay up till 10:30 now. And we're sleepy. And so that was one of the things. There was another thing that they did in the Royal Promenade called the One Hit Wonder Show. So they play a bunch of one hit wonders. They have like the cruise director come out and all of the entertainment staff, and they're doing like choreographed dances to all these one hit wonders. They've got props, everything. Like, they did an amazing job, but that didn't start till 11:30 at night.
I mean, they're ready to party.
And rightly so. It was not kid friendly at all. But so like some of the programming they have to do later because it's after bedtime. But there was definite times where I was like, Cheryl and I would just go back to the room and be like, you want to read your book for like an hour and then we'll go back out? We're like, yeah, okay.
But I think the thing is like having such a long, like a longer period on a cruise, I think that's what you're intended to do, right? Is you have this downtime to just quote unquote relax.
Relax. Weird concept. I ended up working a couple of days on the cruise ship because it was a 7-night sailing. We had, you know, the first day is kind of a throwaway day, right? Because you get on kind of late and the last day you leave so early. We had 3 days at sea. And so 2 of the days fell during the week. And I was like, well, I'm just going to work on those days anyway because I don't want to sit in a pool. But it was more time to really go explore. And I think that's what I really liked about doing a longer cruise, especially on a ship that was so big, is because we were still exploring on that last night. And I was like, did you know you could sit outside right here? And so we went and we like sat outside for a little bit in this little nook that I would have never seen had I not been out hanging out with some of the friends that I had on the ship the night before. So it gives you a chance to explore a little bit, slow down a little bit. But yeah, I really loved the cruise. I was shocked that I went from like our first cruise where I was like, I don't know if this is for me, to being like, man, this was I would love to go back and have you guys with me.
Yeah. So right now you're kind of talking about the pools and being able to sit and relax as far as like, you know, throughout the ship. But you kind of mentioned it earlier, and there's a lot of shops. And I know they, you know, the other cruise ships that we've been on, it has just like basically gift shops. Is there more shopping, or is it kind of the same thing? Go, there was like a jewelry store.
Yeah.
So, and I think a painting store, maybe.
I don't really remember.
But it didn't feel like there was too much shopping. But the fact that it's so big, like, I would assume there's something out, like I maybe clothes and stuff. Yeah,
I wanted to shop more. I guess maybe I'm spoiled for the theme parks where I can just like go find like 20 different types of sweatshirts. Mm. But they had a really small shop that was mostly like Icon of the Seas stuff. And then they had another shop that was smaller and more boutique. And it had like the Vineyard Vines and like kind of the collaboration brands. And that was it in terms of like Royal Caribbean shopping. And then they had the luxury shopping. So like bags, watches, jewelry. I was like, no, thanks. I'm not even going to go in there and pretend. Oh, they had a makeup store. I did go in there. But I was like, I'm not going to waste your time. I'll stay outside, please. Oh, they did have a liquor store. They had a liquor store. But if you bought the liquor, they held it until the last night of the cruise. And then they would deliver it to your room.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So, but yeah, the shopping was fine. I don't know that you're like, unless you're doing like the nice shopping, it's not meant for.
I know that was one of the things that you had mentioned that you had wanted to get was a Spirit jersey. And it's, again, I'm just comparing it to our last cruise.
Yeah.
And it was that, I imagine, all over again.
Yeah.
That if you don't get it as soon as you're not waiting there for them to open it, you're not getting it.
You're not getting
it. Which is so. It's so bizarre. Like, you're there for 7 days. Like,
yeah.
Slow down a little bit.
Slow down. We saw like a mob of people outside of the store because you can't, the stores can't sell while you're at port. You have to be on international waters for, I don't know why. I'm not going to pretend to know why and tell you a lie. But we've pulled away and there's just a mob of people waiting to go into this teeny tiny gift shop, and they bought up all the Spirit jerseys within an hour, because we came back like an hour or two later and they were all gone. I was like, oh, that was not for me, man.
So in that situation, I'm gonna keep you up for the next topic.
Okay.
I would want a drink. You talked about the drink packages.
Yeah.
I think this is the thing that I heard the most about when we were talking. You're like, oh, I tried this drink. I tried this drink. It's really good. It was, afterwards, you're like, yeah, I really put it to the test.
I did.
Please explain. Let's discuss.
Drink package, 10 out of 10. so you can get a drink package. And you could get a drink at breakfast. You could get mimosas at 5:30 in the morning.
So did they set a limit?
I don't know. So I tried. I heard on this cruise that other cruise lines have imposed limits on how many alcoholic beverages you can purchase per day or order under your drink package a day. And it's something crazy like 15 or 18. Seems like a lot, right? Yeah. Like I heard this before we started drinking. And then I drank a lot the first night. Because you just go order a drink. Like you already paid for it. So like in your mind, you're like, it's free drinks, right? Like you already prepaid for it. So you're just like going ham. And so I'm like, well, let me try this drink. Let me try that drink. They were like, would you like a digestive after your meal and between your dessert? I'm like, absolutely I would. Who am I? I don't know. But I've had 2 glasses of wine. I would also like this digestive. And they're like, would you like a cocktail to go? I'm like, of course I would. Like, who am I drinking all these? And then you go to like the Dueling Piano Bar. We ended up meeting up with friends that were on board the ship. Let's have drinks there. Let's go to the nightclub. Let's have drinks there. The first night of the cruise, I did not drink again until like, I think after dinner, and I had like one drink and I'm like, that's all I can stomach. I'm good.
they know that happens. So they're like, okay, go ahead. Go wild on the first day.
Yeah. You do you. You'll learn though. But it was, the drink package was fun just because you're not going anywhere. You're not driving. Like, you just have to make it to your room. That's all you got to do. And then
some pretty funny videos of people barely making it to their room. Not that you sent, but I've seen online.
Well, and the hard part is, it's like, we were up on a very high deck. And I'll talk about the cabin right after this. We were up on a very high deck. The cruise ship technically has, I think, like 16 decks. But then when you walk all the way up to the water slides, it's like 20 decks or something. We were on deck 14. When you're up that high on a cruise ship, and when you're too far forward or too far back, you're going to feel that movement on the cruise ship. There was one day where it was really, really rough days at sea. Like, they had to cancel the ice skating show. Like, it was really, really bad. And we're walking. We were so... we were mostly sober. And we were walking.
Maybe the ship wasn't rocking and it was just you.
No, it was really bad. It was probably okay. It was... No, the ship was rocking. We're trying to walk down the hallway, and it's like bouncing us like off the walls. Like, it was moving that bad.
I feel that, you know, that probably was the drinks.
It was, the drink package was a 10 out of 10. But that said, so yes, drink package, amazing. Highly recommend if you go on a cruise that does have a drink package. Wait for that sale. Get that drink package. Our cabin. So our cabin was a balcony cabin. Fantastic. Wonderful. Let's look out at the ocean. Except on Royal Caribbean, because of the way that the ship was organized, where it has the more chill side and then the thrill side, like a quiet side and a loud side, because of the way that's open in the middle all the way up, Royal Caribbean is able to sell more balcony rooms because it's all open space in between in those sections. So it's a balcony, but it's overlooking.
It's an inside balcony.
Doesn't sound bad. Let me sell you on it, and then let me sell you against it. Ours was overlooking Surfside, the family section. I could look down. I could see the carousel. I could see the splash pad. I could see the ice cream stand right there. I could see all these wonderful things. It's bright. It's colorful. It's cute. It's loud. They're playing music all hours of the day. They're having like family, like, let me teach you how to play the steel drums. And you're going to learn how to play Baby Shark. I listened to Baby Shark on the steel drums so many times over that week. If you've got kids and you're okay with the noise, that's fine. And I'm fine with the noise. But I also didn't have my kids. And I was like, well, quiet would have been kind of nice. But the other problem is, because it's open like this, and basically it's like a U where all of these balconies are, I'm looking straight into somebody else's balcony. Right in front of me. Straight into somebody else's balcony. And because I'm on deck 14, I'm way up. The next step up, deck 15, is what they call the windjammer. It's the buffet. I open my curtains in the morning. I'm watching people eating their scrambled eggs. They're watching me in my PJs. So, like, we could never have the curtains open.
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
Because there was no privacy. That was the part to me that I was like, that's not ideal. Like, it's cool that you could look out over Surfside. So maybe if, like, mom's taking a break in the room and dad's down with the kids, like, you can still kind of, like, sit out on the balcony and keep tabs. But I love sunlight. I love privacy. And I couldn't do those things with the room that we were in. So I think knowing the ship and knowing where things are in the ship is like key. Because the rooms that we were in were like highly coveted rooms, being on the Surfside inside like that. But that's not something I would
have. You would choose.
I would book again. No, I would want the ocean. I would want to be able to just like have natural sunlight in there, because we couldn't do it because, like I said, there's people eating in the buffet at all hours of the day. So they could just like watch us in the cabin. It was like, oh,
yeah,
that's not ideal. But the cabins were very spacious. They were very beautiful. For a cruise ship, like, I was surprised with how much room we had in that cabin. Like, I did not feel crammed sharing it with somebody that I don't normally share a room with at all. Like, it was great. The storage.
And they still do like a like clean up every day type of thing?
Or? Yeah, so they did housekeeping. They moved, I think after COVID, they moved to like once a day housekeeping instead of twice a day. But our room attendant was fantastic. Like the service, it's the last thing I think we'll touch on, but the service was incredible on the ship. I was blown away. I don't know if it was because it's a brand new cruise ship. I did learn that everybody that was staffed on this cruise ship, this is not their first ship.
Okay.
They took veterans from other ships that are really good at what they did to put them on this one because it is the world's largest cruise ship. There's so much around it. Like, they needed people that knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
But everybody was just so excited, so kind. Like, it was like Disney level service. Like, I was truly shocked because I went from that. As soon as I got off the cruise ship, the first person in customer service that I met after this, I was like, I am not on a Royal Caribbean ship anymore. But truly everybody there, they're so happy to be there. They're so happy to help you. They just want you to have a fantastic vacation. And just like, you can tell they genuinely mean it. They're not just putting on a show.
That's good.
That was probably the biggest reason that our family will go on a Royal Caribbean ship, because the service, it was top notch.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the things, you know, the first thing I like, so how was it? You know, that's the first thing I always kind of key up with. And you kind of like sat there and contemplated it for a little bit and you're like, I really liked it. You know, it was kid friendly enough that you feel the kids are going to have a good time. But then I think the big thing that caught my attention when you said it was adult friendly, and not in the sense that it's, you know, PG adult, but you got to have like adult fun with the club, and
they've got a nightclub,
the piano bar and the game shows and stuff. It was very like geared towards adult as well, not just one or the other.
Right. Like, so. It's not a family-friendly ship like other cruise lines. It was something for every type of traveler would have a good time,
yeah,
on a ship like this, or just on Royal Caribbean in general. Like, it was, like I said, I had a lot of hesitations going into this cruise. It's a 7-night sailing. It's a big ship. That means there's a lot of people. I didn't have you guys with me, which, like, that's not a normal thing, but I had a lot of hesitations going into it. And then I'm like, oh, and it's a cruise. I don't know necessarily that I'm like a huge fan of cruising. I think this one sold me. Like, I had my doubts.
Yeah.
After a week there, when I was having to pack up all my stuff, I'm like, oh, but this was nice. And I liked this. And I really liked the way they did that. And I wish I could go have another one of these. And just go eat my lunch and then go get myself a little soft serve ice cream. Like, I was bummed to leave, which.
Well, I think that's just a sign of that.
It was a good trip.
Yeah, it was a good trip.
It's a good vacation. So yeah, I loved it. I would love to go back. I would love for you to go with me.
No, I think it's going to be something that we try out. Just because getting to experience some of these things in the different ways, that's the part that I have really started to like open up about. Now the part that may get me is it'll just be like more, or not like, it'll be more of a thing of me getting used to, is it's going to be just kind of us, the small group.
Yeah.
And a lot of our travels lately have been a little bit larger groups, and I've kind of gotten accustomed to that because I kind of feel like, okay, I have my security blanket of my posse with me.
Yeah.
And so when you kind of go alone, it becomes a little bit of a scary thing. I say that, and because like this year I've kind of put myself to say, you know what, I'm going to start doing more stuff on my own, just to kind of get out of my shell. And I think that's why I'm more like open to say, you know what, let's go ahead and try something like that.
Yeah. No, that was, I think, a big difference too, is our cruise that we went on was just the four of us. And then we were like, you know what we should do? We should plan a cruise with 200 of our closest friends. And that's what we're doing on the March 1st cruise that we're going on. This one was a little bit of a mix of that, because, like, one, I didn't have you guys, but I did have my sister-in-law. And then I also had a few friends on the ship, and I made some friends too. So it was kind of like a nice blend.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think if we want to maybe just put out an invitation, if anybody wants to go on on the cruise with us. But Icon of the Seas is booked out for like over a year, and a half maybe.
I mean,
like, it is popular. And Royal Caribbean pumps out new ships all the time. So there are new ships coming, and there is, I've been checking, there is availability.
How long is the Icon going to be the largest ship in the world?
That I don't know. There is another one that's in the same class as the Icon, I think, that's going to be coming out, I want to say, later next year. I think 2025. Which will... it's just one of those things where I think they just like...
make it just a little bit
bigger. Like Tower of Terror, they added like a foot on top of it or whatever. Like, I think it's one of those...
a bigger antenna.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where it's just like a little bit larger. But like I said, Royal Caribbean, Icon of the Seas, like... what an incredible ship. So much for everybody on that ship. It has sold me on cruising. I was a little uncertain, like 2-3 days in, but by the end of it, completely sold.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So we already mentioned we do have, I think that's enough for this episode, but we already mentioned we have the March 1st Wish cruise coming up,
Yeah. Which
is very exciting. That's the next thing on our docket. We did just finish a Mos Eisley, which we'll be recapping, I'm sure,
sometime. Either on our channel or Thank the Maker somewhere. Well, yeah,
stay tuned. Somewhere in the network, we'll be talking about it. But the other thing we wanted to shout out is we are fresh off of Mosh. We are what? At the time of this recording, like 48 hours post-Mosh.
Yeah.
And we met some of our patrons.
Yeah.
At Mosh. Like, well, we knew them.
Yeah.
We didn't meet them. They were there.
Well, this is... You were there. Yeah. That's the crazy thing is, you know, we've met some of them before.
Yeah.
We've met Kat before. But I think even Logan.
We've met Logan
before. So it was like, but it, you know, again, it's just like, it feels new.
Yeah.
You know, feels new and to get excited for because we're at a new place. But yes, you know, we wanted to give a shout out to our patrons that we were able to see. There's one that we didn't. But Logan, Kat, and Mark, and Justin and Naomi.
Which we see them all the time. Yeah,
we see them a lot, but we want to thank those patrons. And then Allison.
Eddie, yes. We saw you. We saw that you were there. Yeah. I saw you there.
You didn't say hello.
We didn't get a picture together. Ugh. But thank you so much for coming out, for supporting Mosh, for supporting us on Patreon. We have a lot more planned over on our Patreon. So if you do want to join us there, it is $5 a month. We've been having a ton of fun with it.
Yeah.
We're about to open up our Discord very, very soon. Yeah.
We're trying to figure that out.
We don't know.
Yeah, we're probably going to talk to our patrons anyway. Like, we're going to say, hey,
what are we doing here? But that is it. Thank you so much for hanging out, and we will see you next time.